What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Does anyone actually know what's going on here?
I literally have no idea.
Help.
We're 20 whatever.
Hi.
Hey.
Hello. Welcome back to 20 whatever.
Whoop whoop. So today we are going to talk about some personal breakthroughs we've had in our 20s.
Getting a little deep there.
Yeah. And it might hurt a little bit, but
I honestly want to start off by saying that yes, personal breakthroughs, but I feel like it's still like whatever, at least I'm going to say it's I'm still actively working on every single day.
Yeah.
Like if I'm like, oh, this is a personal breakthrough. Oh, baby, I'm still climbing the mountain. It's like an active thing that I have to practice every day and remind myself.
Yeah.
Like the problem is not solved, but we're just aware of it now.
Yeah.
Right. And
yeah.
I feel like that's half the battle. Just being aware of like, oh my gosh, like maybe that's not serving me anymore. Or I need mm-hmm. to make a change or something.
Yeah.
And that feels like half the battle. Cause if you don't even know what you need to better, like you're
right.
Like,
or you know, and you don't acknowledge or like try to like fix it or whatever. Like that's a thing too.
I feel like I almost got nervous writing these things down because I'm like, oh man, these have been like huge game changers for the way I like think about myself and like interact with my life and myself.
Right.
What are the things in 5 years that I'm doing now that I'm either ignoring or I'm not aware of that I'm gonna be like, oh my gosh, like girl.
You guys, we're gonna hear this episode back and be like, I remember that and like that was so huge, but oh girl, you don't even know
what else
you learn and discover that you wanna change. Like and you're so right about writing these down. I was like, let me start this off with when I was preparing for this, I was thinking, okay, yes, that is something that is a breakthrough for me, but I know that I'm still actively working at it. And I was like, but you know what? That's still a breakthrough because I'm aware that it needs to change. So I think that my first breakthrough, at least most recently, that I know that I'm aware of and I know that I want to work at it is my people pleasing. Mm. I am so aware that my people pleasing tendency is no longer serving me. And I think I realized it mostly when it had to do with, I felt like I was no longer being authentic to myself. And that's something that I really want to keep practicing and realizing that I'll attract more things and opportunities in my life that if I'm authentic to myself and what's not for me won't be for me, but what is will come. And I caught myself just saying like yes to everything. I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, I was a yes gal. Like, yep, can do it. I can do it. Absolutely. I don't even know what I'm saying yes to. And I'm already like, yep, I can do that. Girl, you don't even know what they're asking you to do.
Right.
But I just wanted to feel like you could count on me and like, like I'm down and I just always a helping hand. So I think it came to fruition more when I was like, okay, girl, you just said yes right away and you didn't even think about what that event even entails.
Do you feel like you were caring more about like fulfilling other people than actually fulfilling yourself and your own needs and desires?
Absolutely. I was putting their needs first, what they need. I wasn't even thinking about myself. Like I was just saying, yes, I can do that. Or, you know, and I wasn't putting myself first. And then I started thinking and was like, wait, so who's thinking about you and who's looking out for what you actually want? And how are you going to show up as yourself and answer? So that was the hard part, realizing that I wasn't putting myself first, because you know, who's your number one girl? It's like has to be your own self. And
right
in that small little thing, you're like, wow, you're like kind of not doing the thing. What's for you.
Do you think, like, when you were, because you were saying, like, you wanted people to know that they could count on you and all that stuff, but was it still at the end of the day something that, like, you were doing to help make yourself feel good? Or was it really like, I really want them to feel good, but I want them to, like, want to ask me or really want to like me? Or was it like,
I honestly think that that's like yes and no, because ultimately, like, my first instinct is to be like, yes, I genuinely do want to help. So I wasn't even thinking about myself. Like, in that moment of me people pleasing and just saying like yes and like, oh sure, whatever the group wants, it was just, it was instinctual. Like, I like, that's why it's such a breakthrough, because I didn't even know that I was not putting myself first, or even not even checking in with me about what I wanted to do.
Right. You're just thinking, of course, this is good for them, it's good for me, everything's fine. And then
it's easier.
Yeah.
And there's a part of that where I was just like, I'm kind of, and I knew people were referring to me, she's very easygoing. So I'm like, what's an easygoing person do? You're always like, oh, I'm down with the flow. Guess what, babies? I want to create my own flow nowadays. Yep. I'm like, I know what I want. And so I need to start speaking on that. And maybe my friends or family or others won't be so happy about it. Then maybe that leads to another conversation of, okay, then, you know.
That label of easygoing, was that something that was like put on you from a young age? Like, oh, Paloma, she's so easygoing.
Oh, yeah. She's an easygoing person. She's an easy baby, never cried, never complained. She's been an adult since she was a little girl. She's got it handled. And so I knew that I could do it,
right? Because you felt like you had to live up of, I'm Paloma, I'm easygoing,
right?
Yeah. I think sometimes when those labels are put on us from a young age, we feel like we have to continue to live up to that. And it's like, well, maybe you were easygoing when you were four.
Right.
And maybe you're not actually wanting to be that way now, but you feel like you have to be because that's who Paloma
is.
That's
who I am. And that's like the label that I was putting onto my identity. And all of a sudden, if I'm causing problems and being like, well, I don't actually think that I kind of want pizza. Like something so small, like we're deciding that. And I would genuinely just be like, well, I really don't want pizza, but I know that just for the greater good, I guess that was like the main, for the greater good, I'm just going to take the small sacrifice. But then the sacrifices start adding up, and then
it's fine when it's pizza, but it's not fine when it's your mental health.
Right.
It's not fine when it's choices that you're making for your life.
Agreed.
And also easygoing, like, so not sticking up for myself. Like, what's easygoing? Like, you're able to like walk all over me, or like, you know that I'm going to do something, so you only ask me because you know I'm not going to say no. Like, that's not easygoing. That's you being able to take advantage of me.
And I know that that has affected me so much in my life, where they're like, oh, just ask Paloma because you know she'll say yes. Like, she'll just do it. And then I get caught up and then I'm like, I don't want to say yes anymore. But they're used to just knowing that I can. And I always, Paloma, I can always count on you. And I'm like, well, I don't want to not be like,
dependable. Yeah.
That's hard too, because that positive reinforcement, it's like, oh, that just feeds into itself of that like people pleasing self-fulfillment of just, okay, Paloma is easygoing, so we ask her. People are so appreciative when Paloma is easygoing. So then I have to continue being easygoing, because you're just continuing that cycle.
Right.
And even a part of me, it's like, you see how people react to when people aren't people pleasing. Like, I've been on the side of the table where they're like, well, can you believe they're just being so difficult or this? And I'm like, and I don't want to be seen as difficult, because it's not that deep. And sometimes I'm like, it just doesn't seem that serious, so I'll just sure, whatever you want, but okay, girl, you gotta, like you said, we can't do that to every single thing. So I think what I've been currently trying to apply to my life, so I can keep trying to check in with myself and not just overly people pleasing. And obviously, if what we want to do for lunch is pizza, I'm like, okay, we'll do pizza, I don't care. And I'm like, that's something that I'm like okay with, like being easygoing about or going with the flow, because obviously, like, it's fine. But I think that something that has brought me back is taking a pause before answering.
That's so small, but so important.
Right.
I am so, well, that might be another breakthrough, but like being so reactive, like as soon as someone says something, I'd be like, yep. Like, I'm already thinking about like, yep, absolutely.
You already think about your response.
I'm already thinking about my response, and they haven't even told me what like is necessary. So I'm like, Paloma, when you're communicating and going about things and making plans, because you get excited and you're like, oh yeah, let's totally do this, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, you need to stop and really listen and think and pause and like, is this something you want to do, and can you actually commit, and will that actually make you happy? And sometimes I've even found myself now even speaking up a little bit more for myself, saying, honestly, can I actually think about it and I'll get back to you? Oh my gosh, I didn't know I could say that until like a friend texted texted me, was like, hey, I'm actually not sure. Can I get back to you? And I was like, yeah, sure. I was like, wait a minute. I could say that.
Right.
That's an option?
That's right. An option. Why did I automatically just think that I had to like do that? I don't know. Couldn't tell you. Breakthrough. So wow. Now she's trying to stop, check in with myself and think, is this what I want to do? Yeah. And like, how will this serve me and moving forward? So that's been, but listen, I will again want to say, every day you have to remind yourself, don't just like, yes, 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 yes.
Right.
I feel like that's something a lot of people struggle with.
It's just so much easier to say yes, because then once you say no, well, then it's your problem now.
Right.
And you're like, oh, right. So.
Because I feel like the opposite of that, we do know the people who are like, who do have an issue with everything, like every decision that's made, like, no, I don't want to do that. I just want to like, and you're like, girl, can't you just for once?
Just agree.
Go with, like, it's fine.
But
and so you really don't want to be that person either. Yeah. Like, you want to be flexible.
Mm-hmm. Going back to what Ryan said about you don't want to be that person, like, always being like, oh, ruffling feathers, shall we say.
Right.
And usually I notice that that person usually kind of gets what they want, and what ends up happening, we're always like, okay, let's actually check with them before we do anything, because usually they'll make a fuss about it. I'm like, it's like the squeaky wheel really gets the, you know, the oil, like they say. But that's so true, because you don't get anything unless you ask for it. And how did they even know that you didn't even want that? I was just like going, yep. So
true. No, true.
Do you feel me, Ryan?
I do.
Okay, good.
I do. I do. I can name a few people off the top of my head. But that kind of goes along with what one of my personal breakthroughs were. One of my personal breakthroughs is I'm not too much. Maybe you're just not enough.
Write that down. Write that down. That is so good.
That's right in my gut.
You know, and I feel like I didn't really realize this until I got older, because I grew up, I'm a very dramatic person. You know, we love a good theater gal. But I've always been that way. Just like, I'm like 3 years old dancing in front of the dishwasher because that's the only place I can see my reflection. Like, you know, like I'm giving the performance of my life, right? Or something's happening at school and I come home like, mom, can you believe that's so-and-so? Like, I'm going off, right?
Right.
And my parents were always like, you are so dramatic. Like, it is not, like, reel it in.
Yeah,
I feel that.
Reel it in. Like, it's not, everything doesn't have to be so. And then if I'm ever upset, then it's like, you know, again, a performance, not dramatic. On purpose, but it's really dramatic. Mm-hmm. And so, and every emotion I had was really dramatic, I guess. And I felt, and I got tired of hearing that.
Yeah.
So then I just shut them all off. And there was no more emotion.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, well, how about here's nothing?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because then you can't say anything.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't. Mm-hmm. Like, I would say, you know, my little piece, and then I was done. And then that kind of became a part of my personality, where I was like, oh, yeah, I don't really care about anything. Like, I don't care. Yeah, mm-hmm.
Wow.
You're upset? Oh, not me. Couldn't be me. You're crying? Couldn't be me.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And, like, I used that as a way to, like, hide, because I just didn't want people to tell me how dramatic I was being.
Mm-hmm.
And I unfortunately used that against other people, too, when people would cry. And be like, you know, and have all these emotions, I'd be like, you're so dramatic. Like, calm down. It's not that deep. And I would like weaponize them just like I used to get.
You're like unknowingly taking those same things that made you shut it off and kind of sending them to the next person.
Yeah. And it obviously caused a lot of problems. Like, I would do that. Like, in my last relationship, I would be like, why are you so upset about this? It's not that deep. Like, do you see me out here crying about this and that and the third? Like, first of all, why would you ever say that to somebody who's like being emotional about something that they're obviously allowed to feel? Like, but then I had to take a step back and be like, oh, well, you remember how that felt.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, that was something that you felt all the time. And so I internalized that, obviously, and it became an outward thing. But it wasn't that I was too dramatic or too much. Like, maybe that for you, that was too much. But it's not up to you. It's not up to anybody to tell someone that they're doing too much and they're being dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Because even if for you that's dramatic, like I cut my finger and I'm like, I'm literally going to die. maybe that might be a dramatic response, but if I feel that way, I feel that way.
Right. The emotions are real.
Right.
I feel very similar to you. And that's something that I've had to realize is like, okay, maybe I'm reacting to this thing in a more extreme way than the average person would, but it's very real to me.
Right. Yeah.
It's and if you're having that reaction and you're sobbing because of something that would not make someone else sob.
Right.
It doesn't make those tears any less real.
Right. 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 And then I feel like, especially with like dating or even friends, but I feel like mostly with dating, when people are like, well, you're just like, they're just too much. Like, they're just too much. Sweetie, have you ever thought maybe you're not enough? And also, that's okay.
Yeah.
I require a lot of maintenance, and I require, I require, you know, somebody to be up there with the dramatics just like me. Otherwise, you really are going to look at me like I'm out of my mind.
Yeah.
And if you don't got it, you don't got it. I'm so sorry.
Well, I think it makes a lot of sense now that you surround yourself with people like us.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's like, yeah. Check out Paloma. Yeah. I got a really dramatic one.
Right. Right. So, and it, like I said, you know, in the other episodes, like she would be crying all the time in the apartment. And I'm like, I just wish maybe you would stop doing that because we're not like nothing is even happening. But because I got so used to it and I knew that I could like really have those moments of vulnerability with you, I'm able to be more vulnerable with a lot more people and not feel like they're going to tell me I'm being dramatic or I'm doing too much.
When do you think you realized that? Like, when did that breakthrough happen for you?
Well, I think when I went through like my last breakup, I was like not well. And it was like the first time that I had like really cried like a lot. And I like couldn't do like regular things. And that was like truly the first time that I had ever gone through something like that. And the whole time I was like, this feels really dramatic. Like, I don't understand why this is that big of a deal and why I'm acting this way. And then after feeling how I was feeling and really realizing what the magnitude was of that, I was like, no, this is the correct response. And I don't even have anyone telling me that I'm being dramatic.
Yeah.
This is just you're allowed to really feel this right now.
And do you think that there was like a part of you telling you like, Brian, you're being dramatic, like stop. Like,
yes.
Yeah.
Every day.
That voice. The same voice for the little girl in front of the dishwasher.
Yep.
Turn it off. That's too, you're being
it's too much. Yeah. Yeah. I know. Sad.
But it's so good that you're here now.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And also like deepening your emotions and like hiding them only calls for an eruption. It's like, you know, when you stuff that shit down, like it's going to come up.
It doesn't go away.
No.
When you shove it down, it just builds.
Yeah. So that was a really, really big one for me that I am actively working on. Like Paloma said, like this is something that's an everyday thing. So but I'm glad to be here that I've noticed now and that I take time to stop and think about my emotions and like truly, truly feel them. And if that means I have to cry or scream in my pillow or do whatever it is, like I allow myself to do that and I move on. Like,
yeah, you give yourself permission to feel your emotions more openly.
Yeah.
That phrase right there, I think, is something that so many people need to hear.
Yeah.
To give yourself permission to feel those emotions.
Yeah.
Whether they're positive or negative.
Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes you just got to shout.
Yeah.
You know, or like break something. I don't know. But like, that's fair and valid.
Yeah.
And then you move.
Oof. That's me.
Here's Wonderwall.
Oh, that was good.
Yeah, that was really good.
I was going to say Sierra.
Okay, so I think the one I want to start with, because I can't, I don't know if we said this already, but we're each going to do three. I think the one I want to start with is actually the one that is, it was the first one of these three. I think this is something I realized in my very early 20s, which is just that waiting to live my life until I could change my body to the way I thought it should be took so much from me. And I don't do that anymore. That I convinced myself that I wanted to lose weight for me and for my health, or that I wanted to change my body for that. It was never about that, looking back at it. It was solely about, I want to do this list of things and I can't do that until I lose weight. None of those things actually had anything to do with my weight.
Right.
It wasn't like I want to do this thing and my body is actually holding me back. I realized that all of those things were my brain holding me back.
Yep.
I get so sad, especially now in the summertime, thinking about how much I missed out on because I was like, well, I'll do that when I lose weight. Mm. Sometimes it's something as simple as like, oh, I love crop tops. I'll wear a crop top when I am this size. But other times it's like, I didn't go to things. I didn't, especially, I think a big reason I stopped acting was I was uncomfortable with the idea that I could only play fat roles.
Right.
And I needed to, especially at the time, because I was more mid-size, I either needed to lose weight or gain weight to play the roles I wanted to play.
Right.
I think I didn't go to a lot of events. And when I would go, I would sit on the sideline, which is not who I am at all.
Right.
I am the one who wants to be doing it all in the middle of everything. If we're at a wedding, I'm on the dance floor. If we're at the beach, I'm in the water. Like, that's just who I am.
Right.
But I didn't for many, many years. And I just realized I need to stop waiting to do the things I want to do until my body changes.
Mm-hmm.
Because first of all, that's a really stupid reason to change my body.
Right.
Because right. I want to wear a crop top. Wear the crop top now.
Right.
There was no actual reason that it came back to. And I think when I realized that, I felt free. And that allowed me to do things like, I had already started my YouTube channel before I had that breakthrough. But it was only about 8 or 9, I was only about 8 or 9 months in. And when I had that realization, I just felt free. Like I used to edit my photos so much in those right. early days, in like late teens up to like 20, I think is when I had that breakthrough. And it was because I was like, well, I can't post on Instagram unless I look this way.
Right.
And so I would just make myself look that way through editing apps.
Mm.
And like, it didn't actually change me, but it changed right. my mental state. Cause I was like, this is who I want to present to the world.
Right.
And what actually spurred on that realization was a family member told me, it was when Steven and I were engaged, that I needed to, they showed me a photo of me that was heavily face-tuned and also from when I was struggling with disordered eating, and said, this should be motivation for you. You should get back to looking like this. Before your wedding, because it was right after we got engaged. I had like a year and a half. So she was like, you have plenty of time. Here's your motivation. And I was so upset. I sobbed because I think I was embarrassed. And also yeah. looking back, I think I thought it was true. I do need to lose weight to get married. And I do need to look different to be able to make that commitment, which is so stupid.
Right.
What does that have anything to do with my body mm-hmm. and my appearance?
And also shame on you.
Yes.
For saying anything to me yep. about my body.
Right. Like who? And that was, I think, a big part of that breakthrough was realizing it actually doesn't have anything to do with me. It has yep. to do with her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Yep. And so I think that was kind of twofold in that breakthrough of what you say about my body is about you yeah. more than it's about me.
Right.
And also, I'm not gonna delay my wedding.
Right. Right.
I'm not gonna sit on the sidelines at the beach. I'm not gonna not wear the dress I wanna wear. I'm gonna do it. And if my body changes, whether I gain weight or lose weight, that's fine. It doesn't change me living my life. And I think that was the breakthrough that kind of signaled everything. Cause right after that is when I started making videos about body confidence and body positivity mm. because I was a baby body confidence girl. Like I it was so basic of just like, I love myself, but that was radical.
Right, right, right. So after that was said to you, was that the actual moment where you were like, something has to change?
Yes, it was okay. Like, honestly, it was like, what did they call it in the Loki show? It was a nexus event. It was like that changed my path. I can pinpoint that very moment in just the wheels turning and like everything changed for me. And I had already gained a small following on YouTube. I think it was like 20,000 subscribers or maybe a little more than that. But it's interesting. You know, who knows if it was just the luck of the algorithm or it was that change in me. But that's actually when I started to gain a following much quicker. And maybe it's because I was being more genuinely myself.
Right.
And maybe it's because I had a greater purpose to my channel other than just I want to make videos.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I really felt like this message has changed my life. and more people need to hear it. And I was, that was like the driving force and really still is behind everything I do. I don't want anyone else to waste their, and I don't want to say waste their life, but you know, like miss out on things.
Yeah.
Waste those opportunities, waste those moments, whether it's not wearing the clothes you want to wear, or it's like not going to an event or not going for the job interview you want because you feel like you, your body isn't good enough.
That just reminds me so much of, you feel like you don't deserve it. And that takes me to mine, which is I don't have to wait for a major milestone to be happy. Mm. It was that like,
damn,
I don't have to wait to achieve something or be at this goal. And then I get to be happy. Like once I reach that or once I do that or get that, then I can be happy. Up until then, I guess I'm not happy, like because I'm not where I need, quote unquote, need to be. And that was, I think, my mentality leaving college. I was like, okay, I need to get a job and do what I'm passionate about. And once you do that, then you'll be good, girl.
Yeah.
Oh, well, nobody tells you that there's a lot of time that happens in between once you get the quote unquote dream career. And it's really hard once you achieve that. And then you get there and you're like, this is it. I was waiting to be happy until I got this, a job. Right.
That's exactly how I felt when I actually did lose weight, because I thought, once I get here, all my problems are solved. I will be happy. Everything's good. I lost a bunch of weight going into college because, and I convinced myself I will be the person who I want to be at college, and I will be happy because now I'm going to be free to do all these things.
Right.
I never felt more insecure in my life than after that, because I put pressure on myself.
Yeah.
This, finally, when I get there, everything will be good. I'll be happy. I have this milestone I'm working towards. I was so deeply insecure and uncomfortable with my body and myself. And I was so like disappointed.
Right.
Because
right.
I was like, this fixed nothing.
Right.
Yeah. Why do we think that? I mean, this is a loaded question. We probably don't know the answer. but why do we think that we don't deserve to be happy until we attain something? Like, what in our brain is like, yep. Once I'm able to buy that car or buy that apartment, or oh my gosh, once I move there, that I think was the biggest thing too. It's like people are like, you know what? I just need to leave my hometown. And once I travel to New York City, I'm going to get there and I'm going to be so happy. Oh girl, I hate to break it to
me,
you.
At me.
You know, because, because that's something that we all do.
Well, it's like we just decide or like think that we can't enjoy the process of something and like allow our lives to go a certain or a different way. Like you're like, okay, I know this, when I get to this point, then I can do it, which is fine. And have your goals, like if you want to like whatever, but enjoy the process of getting that thing and also allow your life to change course.
And that's honestly the work that I'm continuously doing every day, which is, you don't have to wait to be happy. You're here now and you only have now. So be happy and so thankful for everything you have now. And I've started to romanticize my life, like they say on TikTok. Like, start doing this. I get my boyfriend panting to me, are you romanticizing your life again? I'm like, yes, I am. I have like my coffee and I just like open the front door and I'm just like smelling, closing my eyes, and I'm drinking my coffee and I'm like, I'm just so blessed to be here and like even have these moments of peace and just little things that you don't, I guess I wasn't focusing on before. I wasn't being not present, but I wasn't.
Kind of.
But what's that one specific word that you weren't appreciate? Like you're not, they tell you to do this. They're like, you need to be.
Gratitude.
That's the word. Gratitude. Practicing gratitude.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Has made me so happy because I'm like, you are so, so blessed.
Yeah.
I can't keep going or I'll keep crying because I'm so happy.
But do you feel that, like when what you were saying, chasing those tentpole moments, those big milestones.
Yeah.
When you got there, this thing you've been waiting for, I'll be happy when I get there. Did you enjoy it?
I wasn't enjoying it as much because I was more focused on the end than the journey itself.
And do you feel like then when you got there, you immediately switched to what's the next milestone?
Yeah.
Right.
Because that was a huge problem for me in my early 20s.
Yep.
It was with YouTube when I get to 50,000 subscribers, 100,000, a million. It was with my relationship when we move in together, when we get engaged, mm-hmm. when we get married, when we have kids, when we buy a house. It was, I almost didn't enjoy actually getting there because as soon as I did,
what's next?
Yep. What's next? And plan and thinking and just, okay, got to do that. And I'm like, I don't know if it's that part of that, the work hustle culture that in like ingrained in us too, that we're like, we have to always be chasing what's next or.
Well, I honestly, don't know. I really feel like it's something that happens when we're growing up, because if you haven't seen, you know, your family for a while or whatever, and especially if you're acting, if you're doing like performance, you're like, so what's next?
Oh no.
What you doing after school?
Maybe we all just need to stop asking each other what's next.
Yeah.
How about like what's now?
Yes.
Yeah.
You guys, I just went to an event and I obviously was like catching up with some people that you haven't seen in a long time at this wedding. And then they're like, oh my gosh, so like when's the next movie? And I haven't been booked in a movie, so like me telling you, well, not gonna be doing a movie, like I have to tell you that I have not achieved that I'm gonna be in an upcoming movie. Like right. why are you coming out the gates? Like
what's next? So what you got coming up?
Yeah.
I feel like people do that especially to high schoolers going into college.
Yeah.
So what happens when you graduate? Where are you going? What are you doing? What are you majoring in? Oh, well, don't major in that because that's not a lucrative career.
Right.
So do you feel like practicing those small moments of gratitude has allowed you to be more present and also not constantly rush to the next milestone?
Absolutely. And I didn't stop planning for my future, knowing my goals, but now I'm more focused on enjoying myself getting to these goals rather than just the goals themselves. And just looking at everything and being like, wow, I'm so grateful. Like, look at life.
Yeah.
Look at these trees.
Right.
Look at that water. You know, it's just so small things that I didn't, I guess, appreciate or was grateful and present for before. So
people do that a lot with pregnancy and parenthood in both a positive and a negative way. Mm. Like if you say something like positive, like you're loving this stage in a positive way. Oh, just you wait. It gets so much better at this point. Or just you wait till they do this. And then they also do it in a negative way. If I'm like, oh, man, like when I was pregnant, oh, I am not sleeping. I couldn't even finish the sentence. Just you wait. You'll never sleep again.
Right.
And it's like, well, maybe not just you wait. Maybe I am not sleeping now. And maybe I will or maybe I won't later.
Right.
But like, this is what I'm dealing with now.
Right. Also, I feel like the word happy. I'm so happy right now. And like, fair, I hope that everyone is happy. But the reality is that you're probably not going to be happy all the time.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think that that's the goal. I think the goal is to feel content.
Oh, that is, I think, a breakthrough that I need to have of the. Well, honestly, I think it's something I am working on. Toxic positivity. That like you do not need to love yourself and your life and your body and your job all the time. And telling yourself if. Oh my God, why don't I love this? Why don't I love that? That's not realistic.
Right. Like, and you're like chasing happiness, which is fine. Like we all want to be happy. But the reality is that we live in a world that's tragic. Your life can sometimes be tragic. Your relationships and things that happen. Or you could kind of just be floating and everything is kind of fine. That doesn't necessarily make you happy, but you're like, oh, but you know, we out here.
I'm content.
I'm chilling. Yeah. And that's also fine.
Yeah.
And good.
Yeah. Agreed.
So what's your next one?
All right. Okay. My second one is never beg someone to love you. Now, that feels and sounds like obvious, right? But if it's happening unwarranted, right? Like if you're with someone or you're like, or someone has always been there to love you and something happens and they're not trying to like love you anymore or they're like, feeling like it needs to be a little less, you're like, but wait, let me show you and tell you why you should love me and why this shouldn't end, and like let me try to explain to you and prove to you
that I'm enough
mm-hmm. and why you should continue. But the problem with that is, just like you aren't gonna just love everyone, not everyone's gonna continue to love you. And also recognizing that like there's a season for things. There's a season for people. And everything that happens within that season is valid and fair and whatever. But sometimes things come to an end. And I feel like my biggest issue with this one specifically is feeling like if I don't have you and I don't have what we have, then no one else is going to give me that. Mm. I'm never going to be loved like this. I'm never, like, no one's ever going to love me.
So I have to do whatever I can to keep you.
Yeah. And which is, one, false. Like,
yeah,
that's not true. But in those moments, it feels like if I literally don't have this and I don't have anything.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, the road that it takes to get you to that place. Sometimes I feel like specifically in this situation, like, I learned a lot from my last relationship, like good and bad things. And I think that, like, this was one of the things that I went through where I was, like, literally begging, like, y'all, embarrassing, could never be me now, ever. Like, I hope you leave.
Because you had that breakthrough.
The door.
But you had that breakthrough.
I had to go through that where I was literally, like, begging. It might as well have been hands and knees, like, bad. And just because I was so afraid to be alone, I was afraid that I was gonna, I was embarrassed. I was like, I'm gonna have to tell people that we broke up. And I just made a huge, I just did the most to be with you.
Right.
And here we are now, and it's over, and I'm like freaking out. But when you lose that, like, sense of not self, but like you kind of lose your dignity a little bit.
I think we've all lost our dignity a little bit in a breakup.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Of that, like, I think that it probably feels like that is something that is so embarrassing, right? That only happens to you. But I think it's so hard to let go of those things, to let go of people, relationships, life situations, when you feel like you gave up everything to have that.
Yeah.
And also that you feel like that is who you are.
Yeah. And especially if it's not mutual, then it feels like you really, like, you have no power.
Right.
You're like, okay, so everything just fell apart. And here I am literally trying to duct tape this shit back together.
Mm-hmm.
But it's literally just you. And the person's like, this is not, no.
Mm-hmm. But instead of just being like, yeah, this person doesn't love me, it's better to move on. It's like, I would do anything to have that back.
Mm-hmm.
So how do I keep them here? Let me throw everything at the wall and see what sticks.
Yeah. And on the flip side of that, like, doing all of that isn't going to make them want to be with you anyway.
Right.
Like, if they wanted to be with you,
they would
be with you still.
Mm-hmm.
And you groveling on the ground and, like, losing your mind isn't going to make them want you more or back or anything.
Or even, like you were saying, like, just trying to salvage it, and but maybe trying to save that situation, you, like, change your own self and you're like, oh, maybe if I start doing this, okay, well, if I do this and I do that, then you'll actually stay. But then you're not you. You're not you. You're trying to fit what you think that they want.
Yep.
Yep. Do you think that has to do with, like, control? Because then you're trying to control the situation so that you can feel safe.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like, I was doing anything. Everything. Notice me, do the thing. Do you see that I'm working on that thing that you said was an issue? I fixed it. I got it. It's fine. Like, we can just give me a chance. Give me a moment. I was like, I just need one moment. Mm-hmm. One moment. He's gonna be back here. You know what I mean? Like, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, and then let's say even if you did convince them,
right,
yeah, and they stayed, that is not an even playing field.
Right.
You are now forever, or maybe not forever, but for this situation, gonna be always worried about them changing their mind again, and always trying to just please them and do whatever you can. It's never gonna go back to the way it was.
No. How can it?
Yeah, it can.
Mm-hmm.
That's the other thing, too, is, like, you also put them in a situation where they then it just expect you
to do
all of the things.
And the worst part is, like, you're doing it not even for yourself. You're doing these changes for another person.
Yeah.
You're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're like, you're not even, it's gone past the point that you want them back. It's like, I want this, I want you to be in this relationship with me. And also, let's pretend like none of that ever happened. But just like you said, no one's going to forget what happened. And if they do take you back, or whatever, and something else happens, all that does for you is create resentment.
Yes.
Girl, I've been in a past relationship where I also felt where I was like, something's happening. Like, they're kind of pulling away. Maybe if I just, like, start dressing like this, doing this. Oh, if I'm extra funny, I'm even more easygoing. Like, just all those things. But then all of a sudden, you're not even being authentic to yourself and you lose yourself. That is how people lose themselves in relationships and things like that, where you're like, you're not even you anymore. You're like not even standing for what you want. And you believe you're so busy fighting for their love that you're not even giving yourself love.
Right. And how can you expect someone to want you and like go after you and do all this stuff if you don't even want like yourself?
Yeah.
Like, you're not even making it worth, like, you're not, you're just chasing.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a constant like chase and chase. And like, maybe if I was smarter and thought about it and been like, okay, that's fine, do you. When I was out here thinking about myself, doing my thing, maybe something else could have happened, right? But I was so busy trying to like control the situation that I didn't even allow myself to even like grieve properly.
Mm.
That was the other thing too. Because then when it was really over and it was like done, I was like, what the? So it felt like I was breaking up for months.
Right.
Instead of like just going through the breakup, doing the thing and then
moving on.
I dragged that shit out.
Which probably made it a lot more painful.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely it did. And then when I finally got it together and I was like, okay, it's fine. I realized I actually don't want this. So let's move. I looked back at everything that I had done. And I looked back on that whole situation and I was like, wow, I actually don't want to be with somebody who doesn't want to be with me. Why am I begging someone who is clearly telling me that they don't want to be with me anymore? Why would I want to be with them?
Mm-hmm.
Right. I want someone who wants to be with me.
You want someone who is enthusiastically in love with you.
Exactly.
Not reluctantly because you begged.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And I feel like that's something we kind of go through, maybe not to that extreme, but when we're young, it's like we'll do anything to get the boy's attention or we'll do anything we just want. But like, don't you want them to do anything for you? Like, don't you want them to try to get your attention?
Yeah.
And do the things for you? Like, this is like an equal playing field. But like, if you're always throwing yourself, how do you expect to receive anything?
You should have someone who is enthusiastically accepting the love you're giving.
Right.
And that's what you deserve.
Right. And also think, like, if I did convince them to stay, what makes me think that they're not every day like, I'm here because Ryan was like doing the most and I don't want her to feel bad. Like, why would I even think that, like, okay, we're fine now. Like, it's fine. If that was me and I did choose to stay with somebody who literally begged me, I would be like, how long do I have to like stay here? How long do I have to do this?
Right.
Because I don't really want to be here. And we both know that.
I had a situation like that in high school where a guy begged and also threatened for me to stay with him. And I did. And it ended very badly. And there was a lot of resentment and anger. And it was just a horrible situation. And I felt like for like the last 2 months or so of that relationship, I was forced to stay because I was afraid of what would happen.
Right.
What he would do to himself or to me. And neither of us were better off.
Right.
I stayed because I felt like I had no other option.
Yeah. And that ends up obviously not helping the relationship at all. Like you said, it only made things worse. And it ties it back to everything. Like, you shouldn't be convincing people to stay with you. You shouldn't be begging someone to love you if they love you and they want to be with you. Or this could even be like family or friends. Like, if they love you and accept you, then they just will, and they're not going to try to change you. They're not going to try to do all these things, and you shouldn't be begging for someone to be a part of your life. And you should want people. You should want people to be there if they don't want to be there.
Yeah,
that's not helpful for you. That's not helpful for them. And once you realize that, and like I said, now could never be me. I simply, and the people in my life, the people in my life know that. If you don't want to be here, there's a door. Go ahead. That's fine. I'm okay with that. I'm so okay with it.
And I think it's because you just love yourself so much now.
Yeah.
Like, you just, you know your worth and you know what it takes to be loved by someone else. you know, yeah. And what you deserve, like the love you deserve. And that's the bottom line. You deserve to be absolutely loved, and someone should be infatuated with you. And that's right, just, right. That's the only way. It's either that or nothing.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah. What's that quote that people say? You accept the love you think you deserve. Is that right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Same vibe.
Ugh. Well, now it's got to be love me or leave me, baby.
No, truly. Mm-hmm. I don't have time for nothing else.
Mm.
I know. Well, that's me.
Miss Sierra.
Oh, yes.
Okay. So this kind of goes hand in hand with my last one, which was, you know, not waiting to live my life. I changed the way that I valued myself. But when I stopped valuing myself based on my weight and my appearance, I switched to valuing myself for my productivity. And I thought I had fixed it, right? I am not my body. I am not valued by what others think of me or if they think I'm attractive. I am valued by the work that I do. And I'm very passionate about it, which was great. But I took it way too far. That like, right? If I wasn't posting 2 videos a week on my main channel and multiple videos on the podcast and working my, because this was before I quit my other job and working my, you know, normal job and, you know, doing all the things in my personal life, I am pathetic and I have no value. And I shamed myself into working a unhealthy amount. And it was really unhealthy. And I definitely got burnout.
Mm-hmm.
And when that came crashing down, I was like, wait, if my value doesn't come from my appearance and my value doesn't come from my output, my productivity, how do I know that I am of value? Where does my worth come from?
How do you measure this?
Yes. Yeah. And it's so freaking simple, right? But it's just, I value myself now by who I am and my relationships. And that if I am not reaching the productivity that I want to, that does not make me any less valuable as a person.
Right.
But I'm still working on it because, you know, I've scaled back with how much I post on my channels. And I feel a lot of shame about that. Like, oh my God, girl, you can't even post 1 video a week. Like, what's wrong with you? And it's like, okay, but that's not where my value is.
Right.
That's not how I'm defining my worth. Like, my worth is who I am, what I value, and my relationships. And I think it sounds so simple, right? Like, but how do you value yourself?
Right.
And I almost had like an identity crisis because when I went from valuing myself based on my appearance and the more so even than my appearance, the perception that others had of me and my appearance, I went to my work.
I feel like I'm like listening to you say that and I'm like, I don't think I know where I feel like I'm of value or like why I do anything. Like I kind of just exist. And now that I'm thinking about it, I'm like, ooh.
It's like a little existential,
it
right?
It is a little bit.
Of like, wait, why, who am I? And why am I important? And what do I do with my life?
It's really along the lines of like, okay, so what's my purpose? Like, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing?
Yeah.
And how do I make sure that I'm reaching my quote unquote potential? How am I reaching what my purpose is?
Yeah.
And that's actually something that I'll probably discover later. But you know where you're like, you think sometimes that the job is the purpose. You think sometimes achieving something's the purpose. And then I got to a place where I was like, maybe my purpose is just making people feel safe and that they can be themselves. Or I was like, a puppy? What is their purpose? To make people happy and just to, like, that is their literal purpose on this planet, is just to love and be loved by other people. I'm like, why can't that be my purpose? Is to love and receive love. What? Like, that's not enough?
That's more than enough.
That's more than enough.
But also, I don't think we all have to have a purpose. I think, there's this big push of like, what's your purpose in life? And it's like, first of all, that's probably going to change a lot.
Agreed.
Right? And that's okay. Mm-hmm. And second of all, I don't know, maybe we don't all have one.
That's why I switched the script. And I was like, it's just to be happy and love. Yeah. That's the good, because I couldn't come up with another purpose that made more sense.
Yeah. Right.
And that, I think that's a mini breakthrough. Throw that in there.
It is.
Yeah,
it is.
No, it is.
But I think once I switched from not valuing myself on my productivity I started enjoying things more because I couldn't not work and not, that's a double negative, but I couldn't not work and not feel bad about it.
Right.
If I wasn't working, like if I stopped work, even if it was like I worked until 9 p.m. and then I went and took a bath, I'd be like, think of all the things I could be doing with this time. And what am I doing here?
Oh, nothing. Sarah.
I know.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, when you're away from work, you're thinking of work. Oh,
even spending it got so bad that I couldn't spend time with my family without feeling guilty about it.
Oh, wow.
And that's when I had to change things. That was probably a year before the pandemic that I had that big breakthrough where I remember my aunts and uncles were in town. I had a video I had to finish and I had told myself, okay, I'm going to go spend 3 hours with them and then I'm going to come home and finish the video. Sure, that's fine, right? Sometimes we have to set priorities for work. I couldn't enjoy the time with my family when I was there. I didn't enjoy it. I was not present. I was worried. I was thinking, I got to rush home. I got to do this and that. And so it became my obsession with productivity and hustle culture. It's not only making me feel bad and it's not only making me feel like I have to work to be productive, but then when I'm not working, I can't even enjoy it.
Right.
Right.
So that was a big breakthrough. We have stickers now at confidentkind.com.
We do.
That say your worth is not defined by your productivity.
Yes. Which is so true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who sold us that? Well, capitalism maybe.
Yeah. Well, yes.
Well, that's the thing, right? If we all have to hustle, wake up, wake up at 4 a.m. and do this and then stay up all night and then, right? Every interview with every like billionaire.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up at 3 a.m. and I'm cryogenically freezed before I go to my 3-hour workout. It's right. It's
yeah.
And then that convinces us, well, the only difference between them and me is that I am not that productive. Yeah. So if I want to be successful, I got to do that.
Well, and they always say, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. And like, if you just work really hard right now and like really go off and grind and grind and grind, you'll be able to like do the thing and retire or whatever. I don't know, whatever they say.
And that's so not true, right? Because we don't all have the same 24 hours in a day. If someone has to take public transportation versus someone who has a private car that drives them around everywhere, that's going to take you twice as long to get to work.
Right.
If you have a chef and you're not having to cook, well, of course you've got all this extra time to do things.
Right.
If you have childcare, if you have a housekeeper, like all of these things that make it harder and take up our time.
Right.
All right, you guys, this is my last one and I'm a little shy to say it because it's so, I feel like I should know this in my heart of hearts, but it's something that I had to learn. My last one is understanding that it's okay if you're not everyone's cup of tea.
Mm.
You're okay. I can be okay with not everyone liking me. And that sounds so much easier than done because back in the day, the thought of someone not liking me was like, oh, it would send me to the ends of the earth. I'd be like, oh my gosh, what did I do? What can I say to fix that? Like, it's a me problem.
Did you feel like you have to change yourself? Whatever it is that's bothering them about you, I've got to change that.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Specifically about how I'm very enthusiastic and loud and I talk a lot. And I found myself always trying to make myself smaller so that I would be more palatable for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Because I've heard they're like, you're just so loud, or you know Paloma, she's just so loud, or she just talks so much. And it's like, they're not saying it in kind ways. So I'm like, okay, to fix this problem, I need to stop talking or being so loud. So I think it was about a year ago that I would be like, okay, when I'm around certain people that I know that like are not crazy about me talking or being loud, I'm just going to sit there and just be there. I'm not going to say anything. I was kind of like afraid to speak or anything because I was like, I don't want them to talk shit about me and think that I'm too much or I'm too loud. And feeling like you're too much is so hard because it's like, right, that's my level of how I feel and how I express myself.
It's too much for you. That's why I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you're just not enough.
Yeah. You're so much. I'm like, well, maybe like Ryan said, maybe you're not doing enough because I'm just being myself. And I was just for a long time trying to put myself in a box and being like, okay, just see other people aren't like really being loud. Like maybe you just don't talk, because I didn't really know that in between or what was too much or what was too little, because obviously my bar of being loud and talkative was not as high as other people. So I just found myself pretty sad and finding myself that I was not being who I was, like not being authentic to myself, not being true to who I was, and just leaving these group settings or friend meetups with where it's like, I'm sad. I'm not feeling good about myself. And I just finally was like, okay, maybe you just be yourself and then you only surround yourself with people who actually do love you for who you are and understand you and actually like that. And that's okay if not everyone likes you. There's so many people in this world and you meet so many people and you have friends or you have best friends. And it's like, you really, you can't be expected to like everyone. I'm like, I don't like everyone. Why do I think everyone would like me? Why do I think everyone would be like, she's awesome.
That's a lesson I feel like I had to learn through the internet, through doing YouTube. Is when you're posting online, you're opening yourself up to everyone.
Right.
And not everyone is going to like you. And that's okay. Right. Like, I don't like every content creator out there.
Right.
Also, there's the whole thing of like, but I don't have to tell them. I can just not watch them. But
Right.
But the people that do tell you, I early on would take it really personally and like, oh my God, they thought this was a bad video idea or my voice was annoying or I was too this or too that. I should change that because I want them to like me and say my content is good, especially with the internet. If you change that, someone else isn't going to like that change.
Right.
Yep. Someone else is going to say, this is boring. You're not even excited. You're not even enthusiastic. Yeah. Gosh, she looks like she doesn't even enjoy doing this, right? And but then if you're too excited, someone's going to be like, tone it down, bring it back.
Right.
And I had to realize I just need to truly be myself.
Yeah.
And do what I want to do and be true to who I am. And the people who like it are going to stay and are going to find my content and are going to be like, this is for me.
Yeah. Right.
And the people who don't will go find someone who's more their speed. But I can't take those comments about who I am to heart and change myself because I would just change everything about me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm sure someone out there has commented about every little thing that I do, right? At least someone has said something about everything. And so then who would I be?
Right.
If I just kept changing myself for other people, who would I be?
I was going to say, imagine like trying to adjust yourself to these things. And even if, let's say, in this perfect world, you are like, okay, I'm going to adjust myself so everyone likes me. That is quite literally impossible. You could make your life looks so perfect on the internet and you're like, oh my gosh, this is something that like I'm proud of and I want to present myself like that. Okay. Even when you think that you are doing or portraying the perfect quote unquote version of what you want to present, people, no matter what, will still feel a certain way because of their life experiences and their own trauma and just things like that. There, no matter what, there's going to be a problem. Even let's say I stop talking. All of a sudden, they're going to be like, she doesn't talk enough.
Yeah.
Because
she's boring. She's quiet.
Yeah. So even any little adjustment, if you try to, it's still going to make someone else upset because of their own life experience and how they feel about certain things.
Yeah. There's nothing you can do because someone will dislike you.
I'm realizing that all of these breakthroughs are somehow intertwined, right? Because that is people pleasing. And that is also when, like, if I'm changing all of these things because of comments, because of that, that's begging people to stay and to like me.
We are just wanting to be loved.
We're not so different after all.
But we're not. No, we're not.
And I think this is a great conversation to prove that.
Mm-hmm.
Where we all have different life experiences, right? But like you said, they all intertwine and we all kind of go through this feeling of not being enough, not feeling wanted, wanting to be liked, wanting to be accepted. And the reason is, like we've talked about this before, it's just human connection. We just want other humans to value us. And we're taught that like other people's opinions and how other people see you is more important than how you see yourself.
And that's that lesson. And I think that that's how the breakthrough happened. I was like, you need to be happy about who you are, not in. And this is something that I tell myself, what other people think about you is none of your business.
I love that.
None of your business. And a part of me back in the day would be like, absolutely it is, because guess what? If I find out, then I can change it. No, babe.
No.
It is not your business.
Yeah.
It has
nothing
to do with you.
Yeah. And like, I think another one of those things that I say to myself too, when I'm like starting to get in my head about stuff is like, You go to bed. Who's there with you? Me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm. That's it. And that is the only thing that I can work on. That is the only thing I can fixate on. I can't read people's minds. I can't do anything to change anyone else. And so I need to figure out what I'm going through up here, handle it, and move on. Because mm-hmm. if I'm sitting there stuck like, well, what about this and what about that? And what if? Mm-hmm. And maybe they are talking shit about you.
Yeah.
Let them. Yeah, they probably let are. Them talk.
Yeah.
Somebody is.
Yeah.
So you let them. And there's nothing you can do. You can't stop them.
Yeah.
I said, if you're talking shit, good. I'm doing something right.
All right, Ryan, what's your last one?
My last one. Oh, this is a good one. This is good. So my last one is, when someone shows you who they are, believe them.
Mm.
There are too many times where we see someone act a certain way, or they, you know, say something and we're like, we can change that.
Mm.
It's not that bad. I see the potential. That word is like triggering for some reason. The potential. I can see your potential. I hate yeah. that. But we see people like that.
Mm-hmm.
They can change, and they can change. But also, let's look at the facts.
Mm.
Let's look at the patterns. If they wanted to, they would. So let's also take that into consideration. But like, when someone shows you or tells you who they are, there should be no other option. If you're like, oh, I'm just like that, I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I guess you just like that then.
Yeah.
Until you prove otherwise. But I don't know why we think that if someone says something like, oh, you know, I'm not really that nice, but like, you know, it's fine. I like you. Like, that's fine. That's a red flag.
Do you think you're seeing who you want to see instead of who they truly are?
Yes. Yeah. Which is problematic and harmful.
And I think it's bad both ways, right?
Yeah. Like,
because then if someone is romanticizing you, seeing what they want to see instead of who you truly are, and we all have flaws, we all have things we're working on.
Right.
Then they aren't truly with you. They're with this idea of you that they've created.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, I read something that says the potential you see in other people is actually the potential in you.
Ooh.
Oh.
And you're like, right, because I'm the one coming up with those thoughts. I'm literally the one conjuring up this whole thing.
Right,
you're not,
right.
They're not doing anything. They're not probably not even thinking about it, but you're right. Out here like, but what about this? What about this?
Right.
Baby, it's your own potential and what you could have and what right. you want rather than that person.
And like, on the flip side of that, like you like romanticizing someone, is that could also be you like ignoring very clear mm. red flags. And then when they act the way they said they're gonna act, you are like hurt, distraught. How could you ever? I'm trying to do this and that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I told you that that's what I was gonna do. I told you that this was what it was.
Or someday you're gonna take off those rose-colored glasses and be like, who have I been dating?
Yeah, exactly.
Because
exactly.
It's that whole thing where when you break up, you're like, oh my God, I put up with that?
Right, exactly.
But in the moment, you're convincing yourself that's not who they really are.
Right.
There's an Ariana Grande song, I think it's In My Head, where she goes, I saw your potential without seeing credentials, and I feel like it's...
Ooh.
The nugget.
Miss Ari. Miss
Ari.
Without credentials. I was like, ooh.
No, but that's T. Again, there's that word, potential. That was something that, too, like, you can... It goes past romantic relationships, right?
It does.
Friendships, relationship with your family, bosses, coworkers, like, people will literally show you their asses. They will. It only takes a moment.
Yeah.
It doesn't take that long. And so that is your cue to decide whether or not that's something you want to put up with or something that you can work with. But the moment you're like, well, I can
change them.
Can change
what
that.
If we, oh,
you can't.
You can't.
You last it.
You can't.
They might change on their own.
Yes.
But you're not going to be the one to do that for them. And
exactly.
they have to want that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
I mean, how hard is it for us to change ourselves? You think we can change someone else?
Oh,
right.
Write like, that down.
Right.
Are you guys hearing all these breakthroughs? I'm like, if I could just, but if I just do that, then I'll change. Imagine trying to change someone else.
Right.
You can't.
And how long it takes for you to do that.
Yeah. It takes so long for us to apply these things. Imagine.
Yep.
Oh, right.
You lost me.
Yeah. So I think save yourself time, save yourself the heartache, save yourself your breath, and just believe them.
Mm-hmm.
And if they change, good for them.
Yeah.
And if they don't, well, they said they weren't. So you know what I mean? All right, see.
So my last one is very like internal, like is an internal change. And that is that I think I used to have a problem with apologizing. And I used to be incredibly defensive. And I think this is a change I only made in the past like 2 years, that I think I could apologize, but I always had to explain myself. I had to add the disclaimer. I'm sorry, but it's because of this.
Right.
Well, I did that because you did this, right? I couldn't just humble myself and say, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, and then move on.
Right.
It had to be this big thing. And actually, how I think the breakthrough for this for me was online. If I made a mistake, whether it is using verbiage that was offensive to people or maybe not talking about something I should have talked about, I reacted to that with defensiveness of, well, why is this that? I didn't mean it this way. I did that. Da, 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 da.
Right.
And I also felt like if I apologized, it had to be this big thing.
An apology video.
An apology video. I don't think I've ever made an apology video.
Good
so
for you.
Yeah, good for me.
Good for you.
Yeah. But I don't think it has to be so black and white that either you put on the gray hoodie and cry and make the apology video and center yourself.
Right.
Or you ignore everything. And I realized the value of a quick, genuine, meaningful apology of, oh, hey, guys, I said this thing or did this thing both online and in my real life. I'm very sorry. And I'm going to change this moving forward. And we're going to move on.
Yeah.
Right.
And I think I've realized in an apology, you have to strip away your defensiveness. You cannot come with this feeling like you need to defend yourself, excuse yourself. You have to humble yourself. Instead of saying why you did it or why you thought it was okay, you need to say what you're going to change.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah, yeah.
Like if I apologize for the way I worded something, a quick all I need is, hey guys, sorry, I didn't realize that this thing was, you know who's a great example of that is Lizzo. Mm. She released a song where she used a word that I didn't even know was offensive until her apology. She released the apology, just quick Instagram post and said, hey guys, I wrote this song. I didn't realize this word that I used was offensive. She explained why it was offensive because then she's educating people like me who also didn't know.
Right.
And she goes, I re-recorded the song and it's out now. Amazing.
Easy.
That's easy. That's yeah, so right. easy. It's really not that hard.
Right.
But I think we make it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
And I have learned to lower my defenses, apologize, and explain how I'm moving forward.
Right.
And I think a lot that is a hard thing for a lot of people, especially white women.
Mm.
I think as a white person, we have that, the what do they call it? White fragility.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. No, me. I didn't mean it. I didn't this and that.
I could never.
I would never. And it's like sometimes we do things unintentionally that hurt people. Apologize. Won't do it again. And the big piece of that actually change.
Right. I think the off-putting thing about specifically, and this is specific to YouTubers and influencers, is when they do make the apology video and they sit on the ground and they wear their hoodies and they cry and they do a whole thing and then like kind of disappear for a little bit and then come back like nothing ever happened and don't change. Every time you make an apology video or apologize for something and it's this big, huge thing, no one believes you. You're just doing that so that people get off, like leave
get
you
off
alone.
Your back.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can move on and do other things. And I feel like the way that you handle criticism or even people just educating you is the correct way to do it. Because not only are you acknowledging that something is offensive to someone or is hurting some other like group, you are taking the time to acknowledge that, tell them that you have
you
read
heard
it
them.
And you heard them, and then you do your part by also educating other people and then moving on and being better. Like you said, that you would.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say they're going to do it and then don't do it.
Mm.
Even though it's not hard, but you know, people are who they are.
Yeah.
There's something admirable about that because it is so easy to really just hear somebody. And you don't have, again, you don't have to explain. We didn't ask.
Yeah.
We don't want to know why you did it. You did it. This is why you shouldn't do it again. And here we are. But yeah. People really, like you're saying, like they get defensive and they just want to explain because I don't want people to think that I'm like this and I don't want people to think that I'm like that. Maybe you're not. But just prove that. Just
I was just going to say, just show it.
Just
then.
Show it.
Yeah. Well, and what I realized, because when I used to do that, mostly in my personal life, a little bit online, it made me, when I stepped back and said, okay, if I feel the need to explain myself, then what is the purpose of this apology? Is it to make me feel better? Because if it's explaining myself and trying to convince them that I'm a good person,
right,
it's not about actually being sorry.
Right.
It's to make myself feel better.
Yeah. Right.
And so that's where I've tried to just take all of that away, strip down the defensiveness, strip down the, but I need to make myself feel better. It's not about me.
Ooh, that's good.
Ladies, we have uncovered some we have climbed some mountains today. And I honestly feel like from listening and just chatting with you today, I actually feel like I'm going to sit on some more more things and be like, you're right. Like you don't know till you don't know. And now I'm starting, the wheels are turning where I'm like, you're right. Mm-hmm. I could better myself in this way and it be happier. Or just,
Thanks for the therapy session.
No,
right.
I think talking about these things helps us too.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right. Because otherwise it's just all in your brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To get it out.
Yeah. And these aren't everyday conversations that you're having.
No, you don't go out to lunch with a friend and be like, so lately I've been thinking about how defensive I am when I apologize.
right.
That's so true though.
But this is good. It's good for us and hopefully it's good for you guys. We obviously, the goal of this is to make everyone feel like we're talking to you guys. It's like we're talking to each other.
Yeah.
And I feel like now that we've all kind of talked about our own situations, we can all go back. And I think I lost my train of thought.
Thoughts gone.
Brain empty.
Well, I think I know where you were going. Were you going to say that we had these breakthroughs and maybe we want to hear from y'all in the comments?
I think that is what I was trying to say. Yep.
Let us know a breakthrough you have had recently. And maybe by reading through each other's things in the comments, we can start some more little
Light bulbs. I know we're going to read some good stuff and be like, oh my gosh, you're so right.
You're like, oh my God, me too. Me too.
Same. I know.
Same.
Yep. I mean, listening to you too, I was like, yep, me. At me.
Right. No, right.
This is about me.
Yep.
Right.
Is this play about it? Or what is it?
Is this play about us?
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, that's all we have for y'all today. Thank you so much for watching, listening. Like this video if you're on YouTube. Give us 5 stars on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all the things. And we will see you next week.
Bye, guys.